Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. This morning, we'll continue on our month-long focus on women empowerment, working moms, the balancing act of motherly love and career. Joining me this morning is my special guest, Debbie Silbo, the president of Lifestyle Fitness, Inc. from New York. She's also has a master's degree in nutrition, and she is also a personal trainer, a whole health coach, and obviously a lifestyle expert for moms. She is also branded as the Mojo Coach. In this hour, we will be getting firsthand information from Debbie on what lifestyle fitness for mom is all about and how it can help us achieve what we want through personal physical transformation. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. Thank you
for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Wonderful. Please tell me about, tell us the story behind the branded name, the Mojo Coach.
Okay. It's an interesting one. I was a dietitian and a trainer working for years, working exclusively with moms. That's just an area I'm very comfortable with. I'm a mom of four kids, four dogs, so I get it. So that was always a natural group for me. But anyway, things were going well. Moms were losing weight, becoming fit. Something was missing, and something was very wrong with me as well. I'll tell you, it started with bursitis in my shoulders. I couldn't lift my kids, and I had to have cortisone shots to reduce the inflammation and the pain. I noticed I started getting sick all the time, upper respiratory infections and viruses. I started breaking out, skin like, you know, I had had when I was a teenager. I started gaining weight. Soon after that, I started losing my hair. Right after that, I had I wasn't sleeping well, also terrible anxiety. Started having back problems, and it got so bad at one point that I almost had to stop driving because I couldn't turn my head to look over my shoulder to change lanes. Went to a few doctors, and they said that I had two herniated discs and degenerative disc disease. It seems I'd worn away the cartilage that cushions the discs between, so they were pressing directly on the nerves and causing this pain. They said surgery was, you know, my only option, but there's a chance of paralysis. Well,
wow.
Yeah, soon after that, I developed severe arthritis in my feet. From the outside, they were fine, but on the inside, I had done the same thing. It seems I'd worn away all the cartilage that cushions the joints. For 2 years, every 3 months, I'd have cortisone shots in both feet just to manage the pain, reduce the inflammation. After 2 years, it just wasn't working anymore.
How old were you when you were encountering all this?
I wasn't even 40 years old. So now imagine this. Here, and I went to a bunch of doctors, and they said, well, it's probably from all your years of running, because I had been a runner. Something wasn't sitting right. You know when something just doesn't seem right? I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying, why is it that some people can run into their 60s, 70s, and here I could barely walk before my 40th birthday, and obviously was not good for business. A trainer who can't walk and a dietitian who's gaining weight. Anyway, I decided to have the surgery, and I had a feeling, a real strong gut feeling that there was a link between my declining health and my lifestyle. So I decided that while I was healing, I'd study to become a whole health coach, and that's a health expert trained to teach you how your lifestyle creates health or wellness or illness and disease. And what happened after that was incredible. I learned that it wasn't bad genes, it wasn't bad luck, it was me. It was the toxic relationships I had, the stress I was under, the whole supermom thing. And what I did was sort of this personal experiment on myself where I changed everything. And as I did, certain things just began to heal. Like I got rid of the toxic relationships, certain things healed. I changed my emotional outlook. Other things healed. I cut back on some of the things I thought I should be doing. Other things healed. And what had happened was I completely regained my health. And I went from illness to health and pain to pain-free living and misery to joy. I mean, this just felt so good. I felt like, you know, I got my mojo back, started working with my moms. They got their mojo back. They started calling me the Mojo Coach, and here I am.
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a wonderful story, and it's a wonderful nickname, the Mojo Coach. That's correct. You know, when we get older and somehow we just sort of lose things that we shouldn't be losing, and one of the things is, ironically, sometimes our focus because we take things for granted.
Absolutely.
And in this case, you're right, because the transformation apparently that occurs with you is from inside out. So it's very, very powerful because it's something that is sustaining.
You know what? And this is also what I learned. You know, I learned that our bodies are sort of a billboard telling the world what's going on inside.
Right.
So if we're, you know, if we're experiencing all of these health and wellness and emotional problems and issues, there's a lot going on there. But when you make those changes, we can change anything. And I did.
Right. Well, you can use your mind to do that. And, well, let me ask you this now. What were your motivations in writing the Lifestyle Fitness Program? Because, was it during this time that you came up with this idea?
Well, I tell you, the book just flew out of me. I mean, first of all, when I regained my health, mm-hmm. this was just way too good to keep to myself. You know, I felt like I just discovered the secret of lasting weight loss, fitness, wellness,
right.
and happiness. And I didn't just read it and learn it and study it. You know, I did it. And what for me was so profound was here I was, a dietitian with a master's degree and a certified personal trainer, understanding completely that those things aren't enough. Now, while they're steps in the right direction, and that's certainly more than many of us do,
right.
I was doing those things, and I was the perfect example of someone who's implementing healthy eating and implementing exercise, and it wasn't enough. And what the Lifestyle Fitness Program is about six areas that I've discovered in myself and after working exclusively with moms for nearly 20 years. All of their issues, no matter what they were, really boiled down to these six specific areas, one being no more important than another. And it's only when we strengthen all of those areas do we look, feel, and live our best.
Now, when you talk about that, it sounds to me like there are two parts to this equation here. One is, you know, we can go out there and lift weights three times a week, like they always tell you, you know, do this rep, that rep. So you're building this external side of us. And then, of course, somewhere along the line, in all actuality, in real life, it still deteriorates over a period of time. And then you have the internal side of us, and then you do have people that actually go out there, they eat as, as perfect as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about totally perfect here. However, they don't work out.
Right.
And so what I sense here, what you have done, in all actuality, you had combined both of the equation together to give you the balance that, hey, you do need the right hand as well as the left hand. You can't exist. You could exist, but you have a good existence, but you cannot have complete existence without one balancing the other, I presume.
Well, I'll tell you, you may exist, but you certainly won't thrive. And, you know, we can see it on a smaller scale where, yes, you can eat well, but you don't exercise, or, yes, you can exercise, but you don't eat well. But what I've discovered is even with those two things, if you're relationships are toxic, if you have emotional upheaval, if you have chronic unmanaged stress and a lack of spirituality, those things are as significant as getting your eating together and getting your exercise together. And those are actually the six parts of the Lifestyle Fitness Program where, you know, like I said, one being no more important than another.
Right. Well, how does an average mom manage things before they encounter the Mojo Coach? What have you seen?
Well, you know what? What I've seen is, and this is perfect, and I encourage every mom that I see, they go, they've tried everything, and they're wondering why they're still regaining all the weight, and they get so frustrated and aggravated with themselves, and they feel like they've failed. And now here's the thing. They haven't failed. The program that they were trying failed them, and the reason is they never really discovered what their true needs are. And here's an example for you. I had one mom I was working with, and she came to me, and she said, I have 30 pounds to lose. Now, I know it's never just an eating thing. There's always much more underneath. So, of course, I go about it from the six areas that I know moms struggle with most. Mm-hmm. So we get to talking, and it turns out that she says, well, you know what, I get to a certain point, maybe I lose 10 pounds, and then I just manage to sabotage myself. What am I, crazy? Why am I doing this? So we discovered, and this was interesting, that she felt she with her spouse, this was their connection. They would eat together, and this was something that they had in common, and they had very little else in common. That coupled with the fact that he was a little bit insecure, threatened, intimidated, and what she realized was, she sabotages herself because she just didn't want to lose that connection with him, didn't want to make him uncomfortable. Now, you'd think, well, I want to lose the weight. It's a no-brainer, but it really isn't. Well, at that point, I said, this is what we uncovered. This is a pretty profound big thing here. You're wasting your time with a weight loss plan with me until we come up with, you know, until you work through this issue. Well, we agreed, and sure enough, a year later, she comes back,
mm-hmm.
and she says, you know, Deb, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through it, and I said, okay, well, you work through whatever, you know, with your partner, and you know, you know where you're headed with all this, right? You've addressed these things, you're okay with all of this, because things will certainly change. And she did, and sure enough, the weight at that point just, you know, kept coming off week after week after week, because she dealt with the reality, which mm-hmm. wasn't just the food, it was, in her case, the relationship.
Right. Well, don't you think that most of the problems in terms of overcoming or making that very first step is psychological?
You know, I find fear to be at the base of almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fear of, it could be fear of the unknown. You know, we just, it's even if where we are is more
mm-hmm.
uncomfortable, and I'll use weight for an example. Let's say we're overweight, but it's a familiar place for us. We know what's expected of us. We know how we're perceived. We know, you know, how we're looked at. And maybe there's a real fear of what's going to be expected of me with this new, fit, sexy body? You know,
right.
What are going to be the expectations? What's going to become of my relationships? How will they change? So fear of the unknown. There's fear of failure. You know, what if this doesn't work? What's going to happen then? Even more severe, fear of success. What'll happen?
Right.
How will things be different if it does work? Fear of change. You know, we're just, you know, what is it? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Right.
So fear, I find, is at the base of most of these things, and it's it really keeps us back from doing and living our best.
No, it's true, because I mean, even in my book, I mean, I talk about overcoming fear and how to make, you know, making changes, the essence of making changes. And I remember one of my moms, and this is my late sanguine Savannah mom, told me one time, is that ultimately, she puts it best this way, what the caterpillar refers to as the end of the world, the butterfly calls it as the beginning of a beautiful life. And so when you do changes like that, where, you know, once you make the commitment,
right.
you can make a tremendous amount of change from within, and all this while the power is actually from within. It's a psychological
right.
Block that you have.
And that's a beautiful way of putting it, too. You know what happens? We do. We have this sort of comfort zone. That's the area within which we live. It's what we know. It's what's familiar to us, what, you know, we can expect and feel okay about, because it's what's familiar. But the thing is, it's funny, because that's how we live our lives, typically, and we're wondering why we're not feeling more enriched or more satisfied or more fulfilled or happier. Well, it's only in venturing past that comfort zone is when we discover what else is out there. But if we don't move past that fear, we just don't know.
That's true. Now, in your book, you had mentioned that moms tend to overlook or merely look for tips.
Mm.
Can you elaborate a little bit more about that? Because I think for my perception is they're just looking for, you know, how to handle the symptoms.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And this is what's so different about the way I work with my moms, too. This is what we do. We go to, you know, from guru to guru and expert to expert and doctor to doctor, and we hand over our power. We just hand it over, and we say, help me, fix me, heal me, right? We hope they have the answers, and we hope they know what they're doing, and we hope they can help us. Well, while we do, we're nervous, we're fearful, we're anxious, we're afraid. When we get the answers that we need and information that makes sense to us, we become empowered. We become inspired. We can make changes because they work within, you know, for us. So what I do is I hand that control right back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit confusing for a lot of the moms that I see, because they're so used to saying, what do I do? So what I do is I have boatloads of information and tips and ideas and motivation and inspiration, but I may be an expert in nutrition and health and wellness and fitness, but I'm not the expert of each mom. She is. And
right.
and that's even why the way I structured the book was, I have those six programs in there, the nutrition and the fitness and the stress control, the relationship wellness, the emotional health, the spirituality. But each mom begins where her greatest struggles lie. You know, one may struggle in nutrition, one may struggle in fitness, one in emotional health. That's where she needs to make those changes, and that's where she'll begin to gain her confidence.
Right. Now, when you deal with the moms, What are some of the things that they hardly pay attention, close attention to?
Self-care. Hands down, self-care. I think in just mom, typically what we do is we put ourselves last. We'll take care of ourselves if and when everyone else is cared for. Well, the bad news is, by that point, there's nothing left. We have no energy. We have no motivation. We have no time. We have no strength. So we just, you know, we completely put our own needs on the back burner, and we think, well, I'm being selfless, and this is, you know, this is me being a better mom. Well, the truth is, you're really not being a better mom, and I hate to say this to the moms, but the reality is, any mom is going to want to give her best. Well, think about it. If you're completely depleted and you have nothing left, what are you giving?
Right.
It's not that great. It's really
right.
Not that great.
Now, in your chapter, in chapter two of your nutritional fitness program, you talked about moms being seen as examples to their daughters, and you also mentioned about how young girls start dieting. Can you explain in greater detail about what you were talking about here?
Definitely. You know, we have this legacy of dieting that we often leave with our daughters, and some of us leave it with our sons too. But I find it particularly with our daughters, and it's always well-intentioned. Maybe a mom was overweight growing up or still is overweight, and she wants to prevent her daughter from experiencing the same pain that she had, social pain, emotional pain, whatever, just, you know, in finding clothes, whatever the issue is. And, of course, the intentions are good. So what the mom does, though, is she takes control over the daughter's eating habits and eating behaviors. And what I've seen continuously is these are the girls. These are the girls who you'll find wrappers in the backpacks and under the bed and in the coat jackets. Because what happens is they're not taking control of the moms are taking control of their eating. So they just sort of, you know, they feel like, okay, the mom is the conscience. So when the conscience isn't around, I'll just do what I want to do.
Right.
And also, you know, I have so many moms who they'll complain about their bodies in front of their girls. You know, your girls are watching to see how you feel about yourself. That's how your daughter's self-image is formed, a huge part of that. So, you know, there are so many great things that we can leave, you know, so many great legacies we can leave our daughters with. But you know, dieting and the pain that it causes truly doesn't have to be one of them.
Right, right. No, that's true. I mean, why does diet not work?
You know, it doesn't work because diet means deprivation. And anything, you know, human nature means we if someone says we can't have it, we want it that much more. So
right.
The minute we say deprivation, well, we want it. And restriction, you know, well, we want it. And I use this example a lot. If you just picture a rubber band and you just pull it, just taut, you know, real tight on both ends, and you let go of one side, that rubber band's going to snap. Well, that's diet and binge. That's right, because the harder you pull it back, the more you diet, the more you restrict, the more you're going to say, I can't wait to get off this thing, and I'm going to go nuts, okay?
Right.
But what happens is with making just gradual lifestyle changes in your behaviors, it's sort of a gentle tug on that rubber band. Well, what happens in that case is it doesn't really snap back with a lot of force. There's no need to. You've allowed for that dessert. You've allowed for a slip. It's just how do you pull in the reins when you need to. It's a whole different approach, but it's really working on eliminating that all or nothing, you know, the black or white, the on or off, because
right.
It truly, truly doesn't work. And the reality also is if you ever want to gain weight, go on a diet.
No, that's true, because then you, well, not only that, I think you can't sustain it.
Right.
That's the biggest thing, because I know that I have friends that say, okay, I'm taking this out, that out, and then you find that, well, that's not really living.
Right.
Because living is to experience anything you want to experience. I think it's, I have a friend that once told me, which is quite interesting, because he says that, you know, I everybody can eat donuts.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat one donut a day, the problem is that if you eat 12 donuts a day.
Right. That's it. And then, you see, and I would suggest if you want to have the donut a day, how about if we just cut it back to a munchkin?
No, I mean, it's true. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we do things in excess rather than, you know, in moderation.
Definitely. I mean, we're you know, a nation that we supersize in value meal and economy size, and our pants are getting bigger and bigger.
Right, right.
It just doesn't work. And actually, one of the chapters in that nutrition section, I think I talk about that, where it's, you know, I think plate sizes about 20 years ago used to be something like 8 inches. They're up to 13 inches now. We're used to seeing these mammoth-sized portions. You know, and it's just way more than what we need, and
we'll
basically finish what's in front of us.
Right. Yeah. Now, you also mentioned in your book that there are two types of stresses.
Mm.
Please share, you know, that with us.
Okay. There's acute stress, and acute stress is, let's say there's a car coming at you, and think of what's going to happen. You're going to have this sudden burst, this release of these hormones and chemicals, and it's going to allow more blood and oxygen to flow to your heart and lungs. You're going to have this burst of adrenaline, and you're able to jump the curb to safety. That's why it's there. It keeps you alive. That's how your body is wired. And within a few minutes, things calm down, go back to normal, rebalance. What happens with chronic unmanaged stress is that same system is ignited, but it's not turned off. So that same system that's designed to protect you over the short term, right, so you can jump the curb, is actually causing huge wear and tear over the long term. Mm. And your body doesn't know and doesn't really care if that threat that you feel is real or imagined. So it's going to react whether a car is coming at you, whether you're feeling the stress of motherhood, whether you're feeling job stress, recession stress, whether you're reliving an argument you had with your own mother 10 years ago. It doesn't make a difference. If your body thinks it's under stress, it's going to try and save you by shooting off this stress response. And in doing so, it's going to cause tremendous physical, emotional, mental wear and tear. And that's what happened with me. I was like the poster child of stress-related illnesses, conditions, diseases. Your body doesn't have a chance to replenish and rebalance these hormones and chemicals, so they just get completely depleted. You know, you look at someone and you say, and they just look, you know, worn. And you say, wow, that person looks like they've had a hard life. Mm-hmm. The way they've handled their stress is completely written on their face.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, with the moms that you dealt with, what is the number one related stress?
You know, it really varies. What I'm seeing a lot of now is a lot of recession stress. Mm-hmm. A lot of moms that I'm seeing, their husbands, you know, all of a sudden they're out of work.
Right.
And moms who haven't needed to work or haven't wanted to work in the past are now forced to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And so it's the stress of it's the financial stress. And it's, you know, how do you reenter the workforce out of once you've been out of it for a while? And how do you, and it's relationship stress, because now that they are having financial issues, you know, things aren't as smooth at home. And how do you work through that? And as a result of it also, I find a lot of moms reaching more for comfort foods. And just putting on weight out of just eating out of, emotional eating, doing a lot more emotional eating because they're just trying to, you know, emotional eating, that's exactly it. They're just trying to self-soothe, to calm, numb, soothe, relax. And food is the easiest, quickest, most available, you know, option. So I'm seeing a lot of that.
No, I have a friend that whenever she's kind of down and out, her best friend is Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, you know what? Haagen-Dazs has a lot of friends.
So, I can understand that. And again, maybe that is a temporary solution, I guess, you know, to give you the comfort for that time, I guess. On the long haul, then you have to do something else from inside out. Now, do you work with anyone else that helps you? Obviously, you talked about this. Your coaching here not only involves a physical fitness program from a standpoint of the actual physical, like what we talked about, the physical side, and there's a lot of a mental preparation here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you have someone else that come in, or do you do it yourself?
I'm the dietitian. I'm the trainer. I'm the whole health coach. So just an easy umbrella title is the Mojo Coach. But it's never one thing. So I might be, wearing my personal trainer clothes and working someone out, but maybe for that day we go for a walk or we go for a run, and as we do, you know, we're working on issues about stress, you know, what's going on at home, how what's going on with your kids, and we're solving some stress-related issues, and I'm giving you some ideas about how to handle that. Or maybe I'm working with someone nutritionally, and, you know, we're trying to come up with an easy system so she doesn't binge when the kids come home. And I do this, you know, in person, over the phone, through emails, but it's really never one thing. And that's why as a dietitian and trainer, even though I was handling two aspects of it, it wasn't enough. You know, now it's sort of just such a more complete package, and that's why it's working so beautifully with my moms,
mm-hmm.
because we can approach things from so many different angles, and really get to the root of the problem instead of just hacking away at the leaves.
You know, this reminded me of something also that. Let me ask you this. What the kind of the average age range of your clients, your mom clients?
I would say 30 to 55.
30 to 55, okay. And this is interesting because generations changes over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I have obviously my relationship with my nine various moms that I've had, and that's what I wrote my book about.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that and it's, of course, it's titled From My Mama's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But I use the kitchen as the backdrop because the kitchen was this woman's main domain.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously in the 80s, and three of my moms have passed on. But my oldest mom is 91,
mm-hmm.
second oldest is 90, and
wow.
the youngest is 72.
Right.
So, but having said that, what happens is that where men have the garage,
mm-hmm.
So to speak, and then you have these women, whenever I know this for a fact, like even my mom, my 82-year-old mom in Malaysia, when she's stressed out, she goes in the kitchen because
right.
that's her main domain where she can go out there and well, obviously we're not going to hang out in there. That's not going to hang out in there. So that's her place, and she can find that. It's her own private sanctuary.
Right.
And so how does your mom, your various moms that you're dealing with, where is their private sanctuary?
You know, and it's interesting you say that because although the kitchen is – and the kitchen, when you think about it, that's typically the place where the family
mm-hmm.
goes. That's where the best conversations happen. That's where
mm-hmm.
you really get to know each other. But what I find with a lot of moms who are really struggling with a lot of the stress, the issues from, let's say, you know, I'm thinking about in the stress control program or in the emotional health program, they haven't discovered what they really need and the place that works best for them. And once they do, it's – that's when they really see some changes, where maybe a lot of moms would say, hey, you know what, I feel great in my kitchen because I get lost in just the, you know, chopping up vegetables and just in creating and cooking something. Where, you know, where I find with some of my other moms, that's really not an area that they typically enjoy or make enough time for. So
right.
for them, it's discovering, hey, do I need to just take a walk by the park near me, or
mm-hmm.
do I need to just go in my bedroom and you know, read a magazine? What, you know, what is that place where I'm going to feel that feeling that a lot of moms do feel in their kitchen?
Mm-hmm. So you do direct them to their private sanctuary, or if they don't have one, they need to identify one for sure. Because, and I use that kitchen as
mm.
as a backdrop simply because.
Right.
You know, nowadays there's no clear zoning anymore.
Mom zone, dad zone, absolutely.
That's
you
right.
You know, I won't direct them. What I'll do is I throw out ideas,
mm-hmm.
and eventually something's going to stick. And that's what's so beautiful about working just with moms, because I'll give the, you know, I have the benefit of all of the moms that I've seen, and I can use some of the things that have worked for them. And you know, a lot of these moms will look at me and say, well, that's crazy. Like, for example, I have one mom who, as her main form of stress relief, she likes to clean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another mom would think that that is just absolutely nuts. Well, but for
stress me out.
Yeah, for her, you know, that's
right.
completely therapeutic. What they have in common is the need to find a stress reliever. But the stress reliever itself doesn't have to be the same. So, you know, I might throw out, you know, journaling, cleaning, running, biking, calling a friend, you know, and eventually something's going to say, you know what, that feels right. I'm going to give that a try. And then if it doesn't work, well, you know what, we try something else.
Now, in the end of each of your chapters, I noticed that you have a weekly goal that everyone has to set.
Right.
How helpful has this been, and any feedback from anyone about how they, you know, they achieved these goals that you set?
You know, what I love about it is, especially with moms, and this is the Lifestyle Fitness Program is completely mom-friendly. Moms don't have the luxury of overhauling everything, of taking
right.
a look at the whole big picture. We have such a small window of self-care, of time that we allot to ourselves. So in just keeping the chapter short, you know, one or two pages, and having that weekly goal, that's enough to focus on. And it's like that for a few reasons. First of all, with the time, but second, you know, the time moms have for themselves. But more importantly, it's designed that way because when you have a small goal that you set for yourself and you achieve that goal, you feel confident, you feel more empowered and inspired, and you feel motivated to continue and move on. So it's a motivator. Whereas if I say, okay, you know, let me know when you've lost 20 pounds, it's just too overwhelming. But if I say, you know, week, whatever the chapter is, week, and you decide that this is your big issue, week one, you know, just no, sit down whenever you're eating and no standing up and eating off of anyone's plates, and absolutely every bite must be eaten sitting down, and you try that and you do that, that may be the reason why you just lose 10 pounds, just that one habit alone. And then it builds on itself, and you reinforce that as you, you know, approach your next one. And then I have a place on the contact page on my website, themojocoach.com, where moms let me know about their greatest, you know, their great success. And I do that purposely. I want to give moms the benefit of everything they get in private coaching.
No, it's true, because what you're saying is that changes, permanent changes, happen very slowly. I mean, you know, we don't need to have this little shock and awe in a way.
Right.
Because in order for it to sustain itself, it has to be gradual, it has to be sustaining, and it's sort of gelling together. I remember years ago when I was first enrolled in a health club, and at that time I was in the restaurant business, and not realizing, visiting each different restaurants that I was overseeing, that I would come in and drink half a glass of iced tea, half a glass of Coke, and in the course of the day, I drank 1,000 calories.
Wow, liquid
and
time bombs.
That's right, but you don't realize it because it's like drinking water.
Right.
I mean, your body needs fluids. So you go in there and you don't finish the whole glass. That's the idea, because technically speaking, I didn't drink a glass of Coke.
Right, right.
But in the course of visiting 3-4 restaurants a day, then you realize that, no, wait a minute now, you actually drank more than you would have done in one sitting.
Right.
And then so the changes was the fact that, okay, no more of those half glasses here and there, and before you know it, I mean, I'm looking at myself. I said, you know, I'd rather eat a 1,000 pound of New York strip, 1,000 calories that is,
right.
New York strip, than to just be drinking it,
right,
and enjoy, you know, my meal, and that changed tremendously. So I can relate to what you're talking about, where I can visualize, you know, mom, okay, you're through with that, or you're not through with that. Hey, I cooked that, you know, I need to finish it. And you don't think about it, and that happens. That's very, very true.
Absolutely, and that awareness is so crucial. And that's something that I uncover when I'm working with someone. You know, it would be where are your calories coming from? What's going on throughout your day? And for you, it may be something like, okay, when you know back in the day when you were working in the restaurants, with each restaurant you go, and you know, make it a very conscious choice to have water at 2 of those 4 stops, or whatever it is.
Right.
And let's say that would be the only thing you work on that week. And then, you know, and then you notice, hey, you know what, I lost a pound this week. And you'd sort of put it together, and then that would become more familiar, and then, you know, we'd go for the next goal.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk to you about your 2 certification about pre- and postnatal fitness, with specialty recognition in weight loss and maintenance.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about that. How does that, you know, how do you incorporate that with your programs?
Well, you know what? When I was working just with moms, I thought, well, you know, it starts when we become pregnant, because what happens is, here's where we can make some really good or really bad habits. And if I work with a pregnant mom and get her on the right track with her eating and her exercise, first of all, delivery is an endurance event. And the better prepared we are for that delivery, and the stronger and the healthier we are, the more we can bounce back. And then, of course, you know, I've done this 4 times. I have 4 kids. And really, I was back and feeling good within a few weeks. So, and it was funny, because all my clients would say, oh, let's see how you look after the next one. You know, let's see how you look after the next one. And it was a tremendous, tremendous help. But in working with moms, I just, you know, even though, yes, I was a mom myself, and I started before I was even a mom, but I thought, I just don't feel comfortable enough working with the pregnant community unless I have the appropriate, you know, knowledge and skills behind me. So, I wound up getting 2 certifications in pre-postnatal, and then which was known as the specialty recognition in weight loss and weight maintenance. So I just, you know, I'm from the belief system of I can be so much more confident and focused and really get the job done if I know, you know, if I really know my stuff.
Right. Now, is this something that is of a greater challenge for today's mothers, say, compared to, say, maybe 10 years ago?
You know, I find that this is a challenging time. It's an incredible time for opportunity. But yes, I think, you know, years ago, maybe we weren't even expected to work or to pursue other interests or talents. And maybe that was okay. And maybe that worked for a lot of the moms. But I find now that so many moms, either they're feeling the financial strain, you know, we live in a very expensive time too,
right,
or they see all the opportunities that are available to them, and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to feel that they just gave it up and didn't take up those opportunities. And what's been so interesting is I find that a lot of my moms, when they've handled a lot of these issues, whether it's weight loss, fitness, they're so much better for their families, and then it gives them also the confidence to pursue either an interest, a passion, a talent, and in doing so, look at the great example they're setting for their kids. So I happen to now have a lot of entrepreneurial moms who are really saying, you know what, I'm feeling like I'm in a really good place now. This is hugely exciting. I've discovered my own passion and talent, and I want to bring it to the world. And it's starting from that place of they feel good enough now to pursue that next phase.
Right. No, it's true, because I've recognized this a long time back, even as a child, and as you know, even though I did mention it in my book, but you are a child too, and you realize this: when mom feels good, the whole family feels good.
Right.
If a mom is upset, the whole family is in the doghouse.
Mm-hmm. Hate to say it, but it's true.
Right. So and, you know, and we know that we don't want to upset mom, you know, from that perspective. So, you know, that's one thing that mom all over the world has in common.
Right.
That's it.
Right. It's, you know, it's true. And, you know, whether it's a conscious thing, an unconscious thing, it's the way, you know, it's just the way it is. But mom is the greatest role model in her children's lives. They learn, they copy, they watch the way she acts, the way she behaves.
Right.
And it, when mom's better, it's all better. And
right,
what greater way than by doing these things herself? And
right,
and whether her choice is, and you know, there are so many of these non-working moms, these working moms, they're at war, and it's
right,
so crazy, because
right,
each mom has to, and first of all, there's no such thing as a non-working mom.
Right.
So each mom has to decide what's best for her, what's best for her families, and whatever that is, just go with it. Just go with it and feel good about the decision. And that's when, you know, you're really contributing to your family in the most positive way.
Right. Well, that comes back to what the family goal is all about, because last month when my topic was why we celebrate Mother's Day, and towards the third or the fourth week of the month, I had a couple of the real Mr. Moms
mm-hmm.
on my show,
mm-hmm.
and these are the forgotten moms, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and both of these individuals, because of economic reasons,
mm-hmm.
had chosen to be Mr. Mom. And have their wives be the so-called breadwinner of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have discovered themselves, being from guys, from a guy's perspective, is that they are starting to see the total different perception about, really, number one is the bonding, the
mm-hmm.
unique bonding that you have. Of course, they will never have the complete bonding, so to speak, because they never experienced childbirth.
Right.
But everything else, I mean, like they say, you know, I really, really cannot relate to this if I have not done this.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, from the mom's perspective, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a little loss, because we do live our life in a closed system. You cannot create order somewhere without creating disorder somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, but it is a good exercise that, you know, where the man goes through this, then they realize the demands of motherhood.
Oh, you know what? And it's such a great, first of all, it's a great way for, yeah, certainly for the father to just,
mm-hmm.
you know, have an appreciation for the mom. I mean, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also to get to know his own kids. I'll tell you a story. This is funny. My husband, from day one, it was always, we decided that Saturday mornings would be a great
mm-hmm.
time for him. You know, I'd catch up on some sleep, get a nice
mm-hmm.
exercise, you know, session out in peace, whatever it was, and he would take our kids, you know, from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 out for breakfast every Saturday. Well, it was funny because he would do that, and by the time he came home, he was done. You know? He was just done. But it was so great because it was just, it gave him a real appreciation. Where here I was, you know, walking around with the four kids, and the most, but this was interesting too, the most I'd get is a, you know, hey lady, you have your hands full. And he'd go to breakfast, and they'd wind up, the waitresses were so impressed with him with the four kids, they'd pay him, you know, they'd buy his breakfast for him. So he'd come home and he'd be, you know, he could barely get his head through the door. He just thought he was it. And I'm thinking, I like the idea of taking the kids out, but I'm paying the price the rest of the day. But it is. No, it's a great thing.
Well, you said what is true, because what I gather from the guys was that, you know, you have this 24-hour attachment now all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, a dad does have that, you know, yeah, that's my child.
Mm-hmm.
But then until you start taking care of that child for about X number of years, then all of a sudden you have this involuntary worries, the whole nine yards that goes with it.
Right. Know? Oh, it's true. And you know what? It's such a great thing. It really is on so many levels. But this is another issue I work on with my moms. You know, it's that micromanaging sort of thing. Well, they say, well, it's just easier for me to do it than have my husband do it. But you know what? First of all, you're depriving your husband, you know, of time with the kids. And then again, you're depriving yourself of taking that time. And, you know, you'd have time for whether it's more sleep or more self-care or whatever it is, just less stress. So,
now,
you know,
do you feel, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, so I work with my moms on, you know, just ending that micromanaging. Well, and I'll reassure them, sure, you know, the house won't be as clean. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some moms, they have their kids at home, whatever. They manage the kids. They're excellent multitaskers. The house is, you know, looking great. Where they give the husband the same job. And sure, the kids might be fed, but, you know, the house looks like a tornado hit it. Your kids might be wearing some pretty crazy clothes. The truth is, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's better for everybody, giving each other that appropriate space.
Now, in your work with moms now, and we talk a little bit about this, kind of go back just now in terms of the demand right now as far as prenatal and postnatal fitness. It's important. I think it's much more challenging now than it is, say, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like celebrities, the highlights that celebrities gets in terms of, you know, before you know it, so-and-so just got a baby, and then 6 weeks later, she's down to four dress sizes down, and what's her secret, this, and everything else. Do you think that put a lot of stress on your clients?
It puts a huge amount of stress. And the problem is whenever we compare ourselves to these celebrities, it's frustrating, it's aggravating. And, you know, we have to realize they're doing this for their jobs. I mean, they need to be at a certain weight, a certain shape within a certain amount of time, or maybe they won't get that movie deal, or they won't renew that show contract, whatever it is.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that would work for us. And sure, I get moms, you know, I show them how to get that baby weight off, and we can work out safely throughout their pregnancy, adjusting it as they go through each trimester, and you know, eating healthfully for themselves and the baby. But it's that pressure and that stress, that anxiety, doesn't do anyone any good. So how can we make it more realistic, more doable, and more lasting? That's what I'm all about.
Right. That's good. You also came out with an audio presentation, From Mom to Wow.
Right.
And I love the catch theme, From Mom to Wow. Tell us about
you know,
that.
This was great because I listen to my moms. I really do, because I really feel like, you know, I have the information and I'm here to empower and inspire, but what greater way than by giving moms what they actually want and what they need? So what had happened was the book was doing well, the Lifestyle Fitness Program, and moms were loving it and getting so much out of it, and they would ask me, well, what's the next step? And I had coaching at the time, and I said, well, you know what, that's really not what I'm ready for. What else do you have? I was like, oh, I really don't have anything else. I mean, I have coaching. So then it hit me as, well, make something else. So what From Mom to Wow is actually it's a takeoff on the Lifestyle Fitness Program, where I focus on those six areas, again, you know, that moms struggle with most. But it's audio CDs. So I go into great depth and detail about each one of those programs. And I actually interview, for the relationship section, I interview a relationship expert. And for the spirituality section, I interview a spirituality expert. And then, you know, and I'm teaching on all of them as well. And then I have charts and checklists and all kinds of things, and even transcriptions of each call, because we learn in so many different ways. So if we can hear something, and then if we can read it and sort of highlight it and doggy ear it and whatever, it's just going to make that message get in so much more. So For Mom to Wow was really listening to what the next step was, listening to what the mom said, hey, this is what, you know, I'd love this. And it was interesting because I wouldn't have created it on my own. It was purely from what they said they were ready for.
Right, because they gave you the idea that reading is good, but then sometimes we do need the audio in this case. And you know, in a nutshell, too, a lot of times, you know, we have defined all these goals, then does our behavior tendencies line up with our goals?
And, you know, it's so true, and it's respecting how each mom will achieve that goal. You know, I have so many moms also who said, I need to hear you. I need to hear your voice. There's something about my scary voice that keeps them on track, whatever it is. So I actually created, it's called Mojo Minutes, and you could find that, you know, on my site, themojocoach.com also, where it's weekly audio tips. So here you actually hear me, and maybe that's enough to keep you on track. So everything that I've created is really a result of pure inspiration and what the moms, you know, what my moms need, what they want.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, let's focus on you here. I mean, you're an amazing woman. You know, you've done so much stuff. And how do you balance out being a mother, a wife, a businesswoman, and a friend?
Well, I'll tell you, there is no such thing as balance. and it takes a huge amount of pressure off. And what when you look at my book cover or you look at my logo, you see a sort of a fit woman, and she seems like she's balancing there. She has her, you know, if you look, she's holding a weight in one hand, she's holding a child on the other. What she's really doing is she's finding time for everything, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the same amount of time. And I think this is where a lot of moms get very tripped up. They think it has to be equal time between my kids and my spouse and me and my business. And the truth is, it's not equal time. If you're, let's say, for example, for some moms who are launching a new career. Well, you know what? There's going to be a little bit of unequal balance there, a little more time necessary. But when that's sort of up in the air, you know, that's sort of going, then she can focus more on her kids and on her spouse and on, you know, herself. So it's never a perfect balance. It's more of a dance, of a harmony. But in you know, my life, it's very filled. It's, you know, it's taking care of the four kids, the four dogs, a husband, a home, a business, everything, and myself. It's certainly not equal, but I just try to get it all in the best way.
It sounds like you have a wonderful rhythm, though.
You know, it's adjusted all the time. Like, I'll give you an example. It's, you know, when the kids are, this is for my older kids, it's their last day of school, and my younger kids have another week. The rhythm will certainly change. I won't have as much time to devote to the business as my kids are free. So, but, you know, so it's not, it won't be balanced at all. But then as they settle into their summer programs, then I can pick up my business again. And it's just, it's really going with where are you at the time, never neglecting your own self-care. That's a steady, because then you can be better for everybody. But certainly looking at it like things will be, you know, a little heavier on one end, a little lighter on the other end, but you as you can, you just get it all in.
No, that's true. Very true. Now, if you've trained moms over the last 20 years or so, and what are some of the experiences that you have gained on your journey? Because we all learn life is a journey.
Right.
And if we allow ourselves to learn, we'll learn something. So what have you learned?
Oh, it's just amazing what I've learned. I never thought I'd be doing what I was doing now. I just, you know, I had really no expectations. I really didn't think about it. Everything I'm doing now is, like I said, just being led by pure inspiration, and just I'm letting my, you know, my gut reaction and my instincts completely take me to whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that I need to be. But one thing I've learned, and this is so crucial, I've refused to let fear hold me back, and it's been the best decision I could ever make. Because when you face that fear head on and you move past it, That's where all the great stuff is.
Any funny stories to tell?
Oh, I have a bunch of stories. I'll tell you one personal story, and this is just because a lot of moms say, "Oh, well, you know, you have this perfect life. Let's just say I'm fit, and I have the, you know, the husband and the kids and the home and whatever." Okay,
right.
So here it was, and I am by far, you know, far from perfect, but just to give you an example, I remember when I thought I should, right? Should is the kiss of death. That is just the biggest problem. But anyway, I thought I should sign my kids up for every single class and after-school program and everything. And what I used to do was I would make dinner earlier in the day, and then we would have just enough time for them to, you know, wash their hands and set the table and as I was heating up dinner. One day I didn't have the time for it. So could you imagine? Now here I am, the dietitian, pulling through the drive-thru, right? I'm so, you know, I'm feeling so guilt-ridden. But my daughter had a soccer practice, and you know, so I get the, you know, the chicken nuggets, and I have two kids crying because they just want to stay home and play, and I have my other kids nauseous because they're trying to do their homework in the car, and here I am flinging chicken nuggets over my shoulders to the kids in the middle of the back rows. And my aim is so bad, no one can catch their dinner. I mean, could you only imagine what the scene was? And of course, I look over, and there's someone just staring at me. I mean, it was horrifying. And when I had a chance to think about it, I cringed. And I said, you know what? This is my daughter's last day of soccer practice. We haven't looked back.
Right. Yeah. Well, your intentions are good. I think that's the thing also right here. I think what you have offered here is a little bit unique because, and you're right, because, we got to enroll our kid in everything.
Right.
Because he or she needs everything.
Well, and that's it. And with moms, our intentions are always good.
Right.
We want what's best for our families, but at what price? And what I learned was, of course I was doing what I thought was best, you know, but at too big of a price. And not only was it causing me tremendous stress, it was causing my kids tremendous stress. And then my husband would come home and I wasn't right for him. It was just and then I have four dogs who were barking and crazy. I'm sure I caused them stress too. So,
it's very true though. I mean, it's because, I mean, the intentions are good. I mean, I remember, I mean, I don't have any kids because I'm not married yet, but like my sister, I remember growing up with my nephews and seeing my nephews and, you know, the same routine because everybody's got to send their kids to just about everything in town.
Right.
And then as the child got older, though, what's good about it is that the child was saying, you know, Mom, I'm not interested in this.
Right.
I'm not interested in that. Save your money. And the good news also is that my mom, his mom, my sister, listens.
Right. Well, you know what? And that's it. And I tell you, I work with some of my moms in the stress control section, just on learning how to say no.
Right.
You know, we think saying yes means we're being nice, but who are you being nice to? I mean, yes, it may be agonizing when that person is asking you something, and you know, and it's easier to say yes. And sure, if you say no, it's going to be painful for that 30 seconds, but look what you've secured. So maybe when someone says, hey, you know what, everyone's signing up for this gymnastic class, you know, how about if you join us? Sure, it may be a little tricky to say no, but once you do, you've really freed yourself up. So it's really, you know, figuring out what works best for you and your family.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, I know over the years you've been recognized for making a tremendous amount of positive difference in your community. And please tell us a little bit about your charity program.
Oh, this is something I'm just really proud of. And again, this was just, it just came to me. I don't know how this even happened, but I felt so blessed and so lucky that I was able to just come up with the Lifestyle Fitness Program and have these moms, and more than that, just recognize truly what I'm passionate about and be able to pursue it. And then besides that, I learned the benefit of these healing, wonderful chemicals, you know, and hormones that we have within our bodies. You know, I had seen what those stress hormones do, but also on the other side, there are these endorphins, these feel-good chemicals, and I thought, what a great way for me, first of all, you know, selfishly, to flood myself with these feel-good chemicals and my mom's with these feel-good chemicals than by starting this charity program. So what it is each month, 50% of any profit from anything I do goes towards my charity program. And also each month I choose a mom of the month. And this is a mom who's made significant lifestyle changes for her. She's not being compared to anybody else. And besides being recognized in my newsletter, and I'll put her kids' names if she wants, she has the additional reward of deciding to which charity my profits go. So
wonderful.
She uses this as it's such a great teaching tool that she could, you know, use for her kids. And here, just by her making these lifestyle changes, she's impacting, you know,
right.
people globally. So
right.
it's been incredible. It's just been a real wonderful thing to do.
Where and how can the mom find you and your program?
Well, you know what? They could just go right to themojocoach.com. And just by signing up, you get a year's worth of weekly tips in any of those six areas that I talked about. They get a free report on mindless munching and a subscription to my newsletter, Mojo Moments.
Now, obviously, I know you are located in New York,
mm-hmm.
But I guess, do you have any clients outside of New York?
Oh, I do. I have clients, you know, out of the country, all across the United States, and that's the beauty of being, you know, having a website and a website business as well, where I can coach them one-on-one, you know, in person. I can coach over the phone or through email. There are so many different options, but I have a list of all my different coaching programs right on my site. Everything's right there.
That's interesting. And why don't you go ahead and repeat your website again?
It's themojocoach.com.
Great. Debbie, we are coming to the end of the show, and for all of my guests who comes on the show, I always ask them this question as a parting question. Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Oh, you know, I have a few things. To say one, let's see. You know, I'd say determine your priorities. Figure out what your priorities are. Live with those in mind, and let the rest go. Just do the best you can.
And is this something that you came up with, or is this something that your mom is, you know, sort of something that you've learned from your mom? That, I mean, it's a wonderful recipe, don't get me wrong. It's just
mm-hmm.
wonderful. I just wanted to kind of get a little bit detailed about that.
Well, yeah, I would say just in being a mom, we're just
mm-hmm.
hit in so many different areas and from so many different angles, and we try to do it all. And understanding that as a mom, you know, yes, you can do it all, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can do it all at the same time. So figure out what's most important to you and what those priorities and those values are, and just living with those as, you know, whether it's, you know, your family, spending quality time with your family or your own exercise or your own sleep or whatever it is, and putting those at the top of the list. And when those things just aren't negotiable, and then just doing the best you can with everything else, and also realizing that it's progress, not perfection. And you just do the best you can and take some of that pressure off.
Right, that's very true. Debbie, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with us on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. And I really appreciate you taking time out this morning, and all the best to you this morning with regards to the programs that you've done. Your charity work is tremendously commendable for what you've done, and I really thank you very much for taking time.
Oh, Johnny, thank you so much. You're doing a great thing. Your book is just terrific, and it's just a wonderful thing that moms can have and to use, and that you're giving moms this space to just recognize just how really wonderful they are and how much they're contributing.
Well, I appreciate that very much, you know, and I hope to be able to do some work with you in the future with regards to getting your word out, as well as, you know, in my case, trying to bring motherly love to center stage. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. To all listeners, thank you again for tuning in this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Jamie Seloff. Excuse me. My guest will be Jamie Seloff. She is a mother who truly exemplifies the spirit and the law, so to speak, of women empowerment, a working mother, and the balancing act of motherly love and career. She is just a terrific woman. I think all of you would like and enjoy hearing her on the radio. And if you have any questions, please, of course, do call in. For additional information, please check johnnytan.com, my personal blog, frommymamaskitchen.com, as well as frommymamaskitchentalkradio.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/FMMK Talk Radio. Thank you again, and have a great week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.